Aladdin. This is your internet web radio broadcast bringing to you white racialist news from a particularly Aryan perspective. My name is James Hawthorne, and my good friend and co-host is Lee Gardner.
How you doing, James?
Doing good. I want to say that music that you played there was so... It really stirred me to put my boots on and to march into Israel. It was so powerful.
You mean the Bound for Glory?
Bound for Glory music, yeah. It was great. Stirring, good National Socialist music for a good white racialist to put their boots on and to kick that Tel Aviv door down and to march right through.
Yeah.
Very, very stirring. So how's your week been?
Just fine. How about yours?
Eventful. Very, very eventful. I was in the car and I went up in the motorway to Birmingham, believe it or not. And while I was there in Birmingham, a riot occurred. And what was surprising was that this riot traces back to the 1970s when the Asians were forced out of Uganda by Idi Amin, because the blacks in that country couldn't understand why the Asians were able to make money from the stores, the shops, but the blacks couldn't.
Mm.
So what happened was the Idi Amin, and I used to know his full title, it was General for Life Idi Amin Dada or something in that region. He's a full-blown Congo Negro. I believe now he's residing in Egypt. What happened was the Asians were so good businessmen that the blacks in Uganda couldn't handle it. So Idi Amin, being a full-blown Congo Negro, told the Asians to pack their bags and leave. But unfortunately, as people know, that the Asians didn't leave to go to Zambia or Kenya or even Outer Mongolia. No, these Asians hopped on the planes and they came to good old England. In the 1970s, the late 70s, these were the great pictures of these Asians flying into Great Britain, coming off the plane, you know, and being welcomed by the good, traitorous British government at the time. Asians came in and dispersed amongst the white population in the United Kingdom. Nothing was heard from them again. But as people in Britain will know, these Asians start popping up on street corners where Mr. Smith used to have his grocery store. Within a few years, Mr. Smith lost his grocery store to Mr.
Like Patel or something.
Mr.
Like
Patel took over the store. Thank you for that one. And not only that, he took over the store down the street and the store on the next corner. And then he go into the next city and Mr. Patel took over that. He took a string of stores, all these grocery stores, that were owned by white British people. Smiths and Joneses and good Celtic names, you know. It was a strategic conquest. He was taking over these grocery stores. Well, here we have a situation now, 20 odd years on, and the Birmingham riots, the blacks in Birmingham don't like the Asians being successful businessmen in their area. They've attacked Asians and Asian businesses in Birmingham because the blacks are saying that they don't want Asians selling black culture or, you know, black stuff in their neighborhood. And how this whole thing sparked was apparently in a pirate radio station in Birmingham, a black radio host targeted someone that he knew he was an Asian in this particular store and said that this particular Asian had raped a 14-year-old black. Anyone that listened to this show will know the true fact that a white person very, very, very rarely rapes a black woman. One, because she's but ugly. but generally, it generally doesn't happen. And Asians are the same way. Asians don't want to attack or rape black women because black women are basically ugly. Or, you know, it's just something that they don't do. Anyway, this pirate station fingered this Asian at this store. And next thing we know, there's a full-blown riot in the middle of Birmingham, and something from the Deccan Herald, it's called. It's got Birmingham riots. Call it is only skin deep. This is an establishment newspaper, by the way, everybody. The myth of black Asian solidarity in the face of white majority has an ignoble burial in the streets of Birmingham, says the headline. And then basically some of the underlying differences between blacks and Asians were evident more than 40 years ago in African countries like Kenya and Uganda, where the local African population resented the wealthy Asians. African complaints that Asians were insular? No. Really? And looked down on them because of their skin colour. Asians were looking down on blacks because of their skin colour, really. Culminated in a political and social crisis that triggered a mass exodus of Asians in the late 1970s. So there you have it. You have a microcosm of Uganda at the time in the late 70s to the year 2005 in Birmingham, England, and we have the same thing going on. And as everybody knows who's intelligent and who's forward thinking knows that it's immigration. That's the main problem is what happens here. We've had the Congo brought to Birmingham, and the whole thing is played out in Birmingham. Birmingham used to be a white city. Birmingham's known as Britain's second city. London's the first, Birmingham's the second. Mm. Birmingham is an abject cesspool right now. Mm. Blacks, Asians, Bangladeshis, Indians, it's a case when you go to Birmingham, it's spot the white man, it really is.
Wow.
It really is. The multiracial nightmare is Birmingham per se.
Yeah.
The Congo, through immigration, has been brought to the United Kingdom in a huge way. The British people need to understand that they've got to do something about this, or the whole thing is absolutely over with.
It's so insane. Basically, you're saying that Idi Amin's are running around in England. Right, the relatives of that Bush baby, Idi Amin, who slaughtered—I gather he slaughtered thousands of people. Right.
I don't mind him. You know, he slaughtered people in Africa, but they're Africans. I don't have a real concern.
I understand
about
exactly
him slaughtering
you
there.
That's fine.
I've got no concern.
But now they're in your country.
They're in
UK,
in Birmingham, in Britain's
in
second,
Birmingham.
In Britain's second city.
Yeah, so they brought their war
to our shores.
Our shores, and the Asians are there. Those are the ones fighting it out. So basically, this is a non-white kind of turf war.
Asians against blacks.
Yeah, it's a non-white turf war in formerly white land.
Formerly white land. White space, as we keep talking about, has been invaded thanks to traitorous consecutive British governments, and they're fighting their turf wars now in Birmingham.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah. I had the same feeling in London, right? London's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there tons of times, you know, went to see the Tower of London, and there are the Beefeaters and all this. And everywhere you go, and in the nightlife everywhere, it is overwhelmingly with these fucking Asians and Africans everywhere. They're crowding out the buses, crowding out on the tubes. You know, everybody's packed in there like sardines, and half of them are not white.
You have to be
and
careful.
This is London?
Yeah. And now
insane.
And now after 7/7, you have to be careful going on the buses and the trains in case some packy with a backpack is going to blow you up.
Yeah. And of course, if they were not in our countries, that would be impossible.
This wouldn't happen.
Right? It could not be possible. Now, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pierce once said, and it's absolutely true, that the Jews and the Arabs and the Muslims, right, the Muslim Arabs, have brought their fucking war to our country.
They brought the turf war.
If we did not allow
white men's.
Yeah, if we did not allow non-whites in, how could it be possible for one of these fucking Muslims to get on a plane and take it over to crash it into the building, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it could not. And I don't care if, you know, I don't want to get into this. All these conspiracy theories about whether or not our government, you know, was somehow behind all this stuff. The Arabs actually had a legitimate reason to hit back at the United States in any way they could. because of our support for Israel and their terrorist activities over there. So the point is, they want security in this country. Why the hell would you let the fucking Arabs in our country in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is impossible for them to hurt us if they're not in our country. This is crazy that Asians and Africans warring in Birmingham.
Turf wars are being brought to white lands, to white space. These traitorous politicians, that continuous people in Great Britain and the United States keep re-electing these traitors. This is what's going to happen until something changes dramatically in the British and American white psyche. Something has to click.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road.
I think it's a gun that needs to click.
Something's got to click in the white psyche in all white lands in Europe and America. Otherwise, as they say, it'll be game, set, and match.
Yeah.
To use a tennis analogy. It's appalling that it's immigration that's brought this about. Certain organizations like to blame a single group, the Muslims. That seems to be the main thing at the moment, because of September 11th and 7/7 in London. They basically put down it's the Muslim problem. It's not really a Muslim problem. Muslims are a problem. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Right.
But it's immigration's the problem.
Yeah.
Immigration brought them here.
Non-white
immigration brought them here. We don't mind white immigration. I mean, our poor brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe and South Africa, if we had one country that was a white nationalist country government, we would offer those good white people immigration, no strings attached. They
absolutely
can come. We don't mind immigration as long as it's white immigration. In the scheme of life, white immigration is a positive
thing.
Well,
there are people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are people.
Yeah.
And there's no problem with them coming over, because our sons and daughters will marry their sons and daughters and have more of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it amounts to.
More white folks. That's
more white people.
More white people.
Right.
And your story this evening.
And my story is a little bit older one, but the title is Iraq Was Invaded to Protect Israel by a U.S. official.
No, really?
Yeah. And this guy, Philip Zelikow, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Jew?
Zelikow. I don't know if he's Jewish or not.
Zelikow?
Zelikow, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's Jewish or not. But he said, why would Iraq attack America or use nuclear weapons against us? I'll tell you what I think the real threat is, and actually has been since 1990. It's the threat against Israel. Zelikow told a crowd at the University of Virginia on September 10th, 2002. And this is the threat that dare not speak its name. Iraq posed no threat to us at all.
Zero.
Zero. And all National Socialist, neo-Nazi so-called organizations.
White racialists.
White racialist organizations were against going to war against Iraq.
What neo-Nazis and National Socialists and evil white racists were saying? Peace?
Yeah.
My God.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe
these
that.
These evil
really.
Neo-Nazi
evil.
Racist
yeah.
haters.
Let's call it for peace.
We're saying, please don't go in there and kill these Iraqis.
It reminds me of those old talks of Adolf Hitler that you can get on CD, where, you know, it's strange. I mean, even in those times, he's a National Socialist. He would call for peace.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Can you believe that?
It's amazing.
Yeah. The horrible guy, the main head guy.
Main head guy.
The creator of National Socialism is calling for peace.
And you know what? The main guy in Britain, Sir Oswald Mosley, strange, he was calling for peace too.
He was calling for peace too. Right? Why fight our German brothers?
Mm-hmm. Or why fight Jewish wars?
Yeah, why
you don't
fight
have
Jewish wars?
Yeah.
Right. Everybody knows it was a Jewish war. A war to protect Jewish interests. And this is the same thing. Isn't it strange how history repeats itself?
If you look through history from World War I to World War II to Korea to Vietnam to Iraq, for some strange reason, it's all for Jewish interests.
It is, for some strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like communism. It's all Jewish. And they say they have these experts in the White House, CIA, and all these experts on intelligence saying they knew Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. And when, again, everybody with any common sense knew that was impossible. Mm-hmm. The United States had their heel down on his neck, on Iraq's neck, for at least a decade since the Persian Gulf War.
Saddam couldn't go to the bathroom without the CIA knowing about it.
Exactly. They were shooting down planes that were going out of, you know, flying out of the wrong latitudes.
The CIA knew what particular toilet roll he was using. That's how good the intelligence was.
Yeah, the toilet rolls with the Israeli flags on it probably is what he was using.
Probably, yeah.
Either way, you know, it's, again, it's so obvious, and we're supposed to believe poor George Bush, you know, was duped by intelligence, or the CIA made a mistake instead of those neocon Jews like Wolfowitz, Pearl, and the rest of them that were actually pushing that agenda and fooling the guy. George Bush, I said, that guy, he's so stupid, he would fuck up a wet dream.
Correct.
There's no way. Yeah. This guy should be running our country.
No.
And look at the disaster he's caused. You know, 2,000 deaths now in Iraq. Again, now we're planning on going into Syria and Iran.
Iran, yeah.
It's sickening to me.
Absolutely sickening. And that just brings me to my second story of the evening, is the Pentagon analyst admits he shared secret information. Now, AIPAC is the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Now, this is an organization that's so pro-Israel, sometimes it embarrasses the Israelis. Senior Defense Department analyst admitted Wednesday he shared secret military information with two pro-Israeli lobbyists. These Israeli lobbyists are the top guys of AIPAC, Mr. Keith Weissman and Mr. Steve Rosen. Let me go back to the story. With two pro-Israeli lobbyists and an Israeli official, in an effort to create a back channel to the Bush administration on Middle East policy, the guy who's the fall goy, I think, is Franklin. I think Franklin's a Jew. He's a goy.
Yeah, he's a goy.
I call him a fall goy. He's a fall goy. Lawrence Franklin. He's going to fall, and he's pleaded guilty, I think, on five counts of trying to give information to Keith Weissman and Steve Rosen, in the hope and the most certainty that these two gentlemen, and I used the word "they're gentlemen" in quotes, would hand over the stuff that he had to Israel, which would probably happen. AIPAC is a nefarious organization that has the United States Congress by the testicles. They are an evil organization. In any true, honest government, they wouldn't be allowed to function. Mr. Wasserman and Rosen are just so pro-Zionist, it's sickening. And it comes to the old adage of loyalty. Where is your loyalty? As a white man, I'm loyal to my country. But these Jews aren't. Whatever they are in their stupid diaspora, they have a dual loyalty. Keith Weissman and Steve Rosen are probably fairly loyal to the United States on one aspect, but totally loyal to Israel on another aspect. But push comes to shove, and you ask these two Jews where the ultimate loyalty will be, it'll be to frickin' Israel.
That's damn right. This story brings up several good points that need to be repeated to all white nationalists, as to understand the Jew and to explain it to other people. And one of the first points I can think of is that the Jews think of themselves not as Americans who just happen to be Jewish, or not as a Germans who just happen to be Jewish, or not as an Italian who just happens to be Jewish. They think of themselves as Jews who happen to be in whatever the damn country is that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they think of themselves. So that right there shows the great divide. And there is no loyalty to a country. There is loyalty only to the race. That's the first thing I think of. Then the second thing I think of is that Larry Franklin, I don't know exactly his background details, but my guess would be that he believes in all the moronic stuff that comes out in the evangelical Christian movement, okay, which is that Zionism, the Jews are God's chosen people. All of that stuff must be defended. The Jews must be defended at all costs. That is their belief, and maybe he is one of them. I don't know. There's got to be some reason for his pro-fervent Zionism, and that he would give away American, you know, secrets to the Jews in AIPAC. There's got to be some reason for that, and that's my guess as what it is.
The main thing I got with doing my research on AIPAC was the fact that this organization is so disgustingly arrogant now that they have people. I don't know if this is an urban legend or so, but I could believe it. The fact that they have assistants in every congressman's office keeping an eye on the congressman.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. There's an excellent video by Father John O'Connor. Father O'Connor is one of the very few priests who will speak out against Jews and homosexuality. One of his video lectures, he mentions that every single congressman has a Jewish aide.
From AIPAC.
No, I don't know if it's from AIPAC only, but more than likely, yes, it's from AIPAC. Mm. And the reason is severalfold, right? The reason is those Jewish congressmen are afraid to say no to those aides that there are recommendations to take in, right? Because obviously if they say no, they are what? Anti-Semitic. And of course, they're afraid of that smear because that's just another kiss of death.
Believe it now, not only anti-Semitic, but anti-Israel. It's all being boiled into the same thing. If you're anti-Israel, the Jews will want to say that you're anti-Semitic.
Right. And what that allows them, as you know, is any of these AIPAC Jewish aides that are in there, what they do is they spy, they steal, and eventually, you know, maybe they'll blackmail and extort.
It's a fifth column. I mean, United States is the greatest country. It's the only world power at the moment. Yet you have an organization that is so pro-Israel, as I said before. It's sometimes it upsets the Israelis because they're so pro-Zionist, pro-Jewish. They have their tentacles at the heart of the American government. That is scary.
It's very scary.
That is absolutely.
But you know what that shows? That shows the corruption of our current form of government. In one sense, you can say, well, I don't blame them, right? All these non-whites and minorities are going to go in there and look out for their interests. So in that respect, it's understandable. But the obvious thing that shows is how easily corruptible and fucked up our American government system is. Mm. The fact that they can do this and alter the course of political activity in this country.
We need to have a folkish state in the United States and all over Europe.
Right.
That's a whole other program.
That's a whole other program. Yeah.
My point with this AIPAC thing is that apparently a congressman called Finley and a congressman called
Paul Finley
and McCloskey.
Pete McCloskey. Yes.
We're forced out.
Yeah,
because of these AIPAC Jewish people.
Yeah,
because they went against Israel or the Jewish agenda, and AIPAC gave their support and financial muscle to the opposing person at time of re-election.
Right.
Now, if the American people don't get that you have this, that they're putting pressure on your congressmen are terrified to go against this lobby. I could just see the whole scenario of being forthright Republicans or forthright Democrats standing for principle on their particular platforms and believing in what they're doing for their constituents, getting elected and going to Congress, and then here's these people from AIPAC telling them how to vote on certain things vis-a-vis Israel.
That's right.
And if you go against them, they're going to finger them, and then they're out on their...
The next thing you know, so you were that idealist that got elected and you go there. Next thing you know, the Jews are asking you, hey, you got to give us this. You got to give us more aid. You got to vote yes on this bill for more aid to Israel or whatever. And you say no.
Oh, how are you going to
vote? Guess what happens?
On these bills.
Yeah, guess what happens, though? They are smearing you. in the press. That's the next thing that happens.
But as Paul Finley found, they just were very, very low key against him. The word went round the Jewish community that he was an anti-Semite because he went against Israel on certain points. But he was fingered as an anti-Semite just because he was against Israel on certain points. Then he gets up for re-election, and then AIPAC and the Jewish community back his opponent with millions of dollars. And guess what? Paul Finley loses.
That happens a lot too.
To me, that's a fifth column.
It's a fifth column.
I mean, American people need to wake up. Do you know, if this was going on, and if this was the Palestinian Public Affairs Committee, they would have padlocked those doors. They wouldn't have allowed this to go on. Even during this investigation, Bush, Condi Rice, and all the rest of them all went to the AIPAC big conference while this was going on. Can you imagine for 1 minute if this was the Palestinian Public Affairs Committee? The doors would be padlocked.
They'd be barred, yeah.
That just proves people the power that Jews have in our nations.
Jews have the power.
They have the power against our politicians. They have the power against the body politic.
Yes.
That's the main thing. Once you have power against the body politic, you've got control.
Right.
You have control.
Right.
So therefore, we've got to cleanse the body politic from these people and ship them out.
The only thing that matters, and Rockwell said this, is power. He wants is power. That's what Rockwell said. All he is after is power. And why? Because if you don't have power, you can't fix the problems, right? And we all know who the problem is. What the problem is in this country, it's Jewish power, Jewish control. We can say Zionism. There's all sorts of forms that it is. It's Zionism, it's Marxism,
there's all sorts of names.
Communism.
Yeah, but there's all sorts of names you can give this. Let's give it the main name, the Jew.
It's the Jew.
That's who it is.
It is.
It's the Jew.
They are the ones who will use any tactics or means necessary to get what the hell they want. And until Americans wake up and realize that, this is a racial thing. It is us against them. And they are winning. They are kicking our ass.
They are the fifth column in the United States under this AIPAC, under this disgusting AIPAC organization. And we have in Great Britain, we have Lord Levy, who, with his multi-millions, is powering it over Tony Blair and his Labour Party. Because of his billions, the Jews know, if you got the money, you have the power.
Right.
These Jews who seem to be 2% or more in the United States, maybe 1% in the United Kingdom, and I don't know in other European countries, but they're a small percentage, but they're prepared to put their hand in their pockets to give thousands and millions to fight and to keep down the goy.
Right.
It's just, it's unbearable. As a goy myself, it's unbearable. I don't like it. I don't want it. They've got their own country, Israel. I'm quite happy as a proud, bold, anti-Jewish person. I won't use the word here, anti-Semite, because I've got nothing against the Palestinians. They're the true Semites in the Middle East. But I'm quite prepared to give them Israel. At the 1967 borders, let's give them Israel. But let's get the diaspora Jews on planes, boats, and trains, and let's put them all there.
Especially trains.
Let's get them there.
I want to see those same pictures that they like to show about the Holocaust. Let's put them on fucking trains.
But people need to understand that they're cowering in the background, but they're putting pressure on our gutless politicians who were so scared of them because of being re-elected. That proves the downfall of democracy.
It is.
Democracy is a fraud. It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
We need a good folkish state.
Right. And tell me, isn't this true? The right-hand man to Mr. Blair is Jack Straw.
Another Jew. Another Jew.
That Jew, he barred Dr. Pierce from ever going to
from England. The UK, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where Dr. Pierce's ancestors were hundreds of years ago. And here this fucking Jew can bar him from it. Mm-hmm. It's just sickening.
as I said before, you have Lord Levy, and this guy's got multi-millions, but he's got homes in Israel, you know, and...
It shows the power.
It shows the power.
Their dual loyalty, their, you know what I mean? They're,
2% in America.
They have their houses in 1% Israel.
1% in Britain.
Yeah, they have their houses in Israel so they can flee there once they start to get accused of some crimes.
Hitler said something in Mein Kampf about that. Can you remember that quote? Where he predicted when he wrote the book in 1920, when he was in Landsberg prison, he quotes this in Mein Kampf, that they would set up and all these criminals would, if they get caught out by the Goy, would flee.
It's
to
a criminal.
Israel.
I know Hitler said that.
It's
right.
a criminal conspiracy.
It's a criminal safe haven.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's a safe place for them to go.
That was
their plan to make Israel.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people don't understand that the Germans were against Israel or the Jews ever having their own nation. They were against that. People say, well, they worked hand in hand with the Zionists. Yeah. They did. But their point was just to get the Jews into Palestine, just to get them out of Germany and Europe. It was not to create their own country because of just what you said, because of what Hitler knew. That would be their criminal safe haven, because if you have this recognized nation and you start saying, well, we can't extradite our citizens, you know, just because they committed crimes and you want them back, we don't do that.
So how, you know, if you were a diaspora Jew, say, in New York, and you're finagling the goyim, and you know you've got an outlet, you can do your utmost evil against the goy, and but no, you've got a back door
Absolutely.
To Israel.
You got to get out of jail free card.
You got to get out of jail
That's
free card.
That's what it is. That's what Hitler said. He was absolutely right. And again, the Germans supported the Zionists to get them out, but what they expected was that they were just going to be like they were for thousands of years, just some more tribal nomads living in Palestine. They did not expect them to go there and start a new state like the Zionists, you know, became to be known, you know, Theodor Herzl and all these guys. That's not what the Germans wanted when they were working with it, because it's obvious, because Hitler said it.
I'm a believer in let's work with what we have here. Okay, we have a Jewish state. As a National Socialist, I can accept the Jewish state at the 1967 borders. They have a country. All the diaspora Jews need to get on planes, boats, and trains and go to the land of milk and honey.
That sounds good to me.
They need to go there. As National Socialists in the modern age, in the 21st century, we're quite happy for them to have that land to the 1967 borders. But all of them, every last one of them, have got to go there.
Right.
Because they're polluting our countries, they're killing our countries, they're corrupting our politicians, and push comes to shove. If they don't go, something's going to happen.
It's going to end up badly for them.
Once the white people learn the truth about what's been going on, especially in the United States and in Britain and in Europe, they're going to be angry, being the people that they are from the Viking spirit and blood in them. They tend to lash out real quickly.
That's right. They immediately go for the jugular, right, and solve the problem that way.
And we don't want them going down there, burning down synagogues and strangling Jews, put them on the nearest lamppost. That's not what we want.
No.
As National Socialists, we want a peaceful, as if you see any speech by Adolf Hitler, any speech by Oswald Mosley in Britain, these great leaders were for them. They want a peace with our people, our kinsfolk, our folk. They wanted peace, and we have to tell white people that when they eventually wake up, which they will do en masse, we don't want any violence against the Jew. We want the Jew, as I keep saying, planes, boats, and trains, and let them go. Let the diaspora Jew
leave them out.
Leave our nations and people alone, and we're quite happy for them to be in the Middle East with their milk and honey.
Right. If we can, we should coexist with them.
Coexist.
But we cannot cohabit with them, right? We cannot cohabit with Africans.
No.
We cannot do that.
No.
So all we can do, and this is what we would shoot for, is to cooperate with them and say, let's coexist. That's the National Socialist spirit, is to coexist. We are not for violence, but if it comes to that, then we are for any means necessary, right, to save our people.
Mm-hmm.
So if that means violence, that means violence. Now, this brings up my second story.
Okay.
It's very well tied into that, is that this story is by Edgar J. Steele, right, the well-known white racist attorney.
Isn't he called the devil's advocate?
That's right. He wrote a recent letter, and of course, I guess he records that too, but we are subscribed to numerous people's and organizations' newsletters that they send via email, and one of the ones he sent recently was titled, Never Trust a Jew. Well, who of these Jews can you trust? Well, the best option, as he says, is never trust any Jew. And what happened is, to Steele, is that he was lambasted by a Jew named Henry Macau, who for years has been posting articles on several places on the internet. The main one that I know about is Rents.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote an attack piece against Edgar Steele in Etherzone. And the title of his piece was Edgar Steele's Racism, Why Jewish Bankers Love Anti-Semites. And what Steele says in his article is that Macau likes to present himself as being a good Jew, allied with good Americans against bad Jews, best exemplified by the never-named members of the banking elite. And he likes to point his finger at people like myself, meaning Edgar, saying that we are bad Americans for playing into the hands of Zionists and scaring all Jews so that they flee into the protective arms of the Zionist banking elite. Now, that kind of idea is well known by many of us who are familiar with all sorts of arcane works, such as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
A forgery.
That so-called forgery, right?
So-called forgery.
What they say in there is that they use.
If that book's a forgery, it's a very good forgery.
Right. What they say in there is that they will use these elite leaders of the Jews. They say themselves they will use anti-Semitism to get the other Jews onto their side. So this is what apparently is what this guy Henry Macau is saying, accusing Edgar Steele of playing into, is that if you start promoting anti-Semitism, or just, which, like you said, it's not a true term because the Semites are Palestinians too.
We should tell these Jews when they point that anti-Semitic finger at us, we should directly retort with the finger back at them and say, no, we're not anti-Semitic. We've got nothing against the Palestinians. We're anti-Jewish.
Right. Right, that's a good point. We could use that because that's the truth. We're not anti-Semitic. I defend anytime I can the Palestinians, right, and the Iraqis, anybody. If the Jews don't like it, then there must be something good about it,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why we should defend it. And we should take the stance of anything they don't like, we like. Again, the point here in this thing about Henry Macau and saying that Edgar J. Steele is playing into the hands of it, I've been through this several times in the past. And I actually wrote Rents letters, which, for some unknown reason, his webmaster there, if it wasn't him, Jeff Rents himself, decided not to post. You keep blaming the racists and saying that if you're a horrible racist and pro-white, you are the problem. You're playing into these big bankers' hands. You know, the bankers behind the scene that run the whole world. You know, the Illuminati. You're playing into their hands. I wrote these letters arguing against that, and they did not post that. Now, there's several people who keep putting forth this stupid myth that Hitler was a pawn of the big Jewish bankers. And the Illuminati, you know, and the Jewish bankers played him, and they wanted him to do this or that, and they wanted all of the National Socialists to adopt, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism, because that's part of their game. And the fact is, no, that's not true at all. The exact opposite is true.
When I see these so-called conservatives, whether they are in the United States or Great Britain or any other nation in Europe, Australia or New Zealand come to that. When these conservatives, and I use the small c when I use this phraseology, start coming across with all this conspiracy kooky stuff, I just want to lay back and put my head back and roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I believe in as a National Socialist. People who will listen to the show are probably on the verge of National Socialism or are National Socialists.
Right.
But I just roll my eyes, especially with Mr. Rents and company. It just boggles my mind that they will suck themselves into this little world where the little conspiracies come together like a big jigsaw puzzle. It doesn't work like that, folks. As National Socialists, we know the truth. We know about race, nature. It's all interlocking. We know what these Jews were about.
Right.
And we're not afraid to name them, what they're doing to our countries and our peoples. Sorry to interrupt there.
No problem. No, it's... You're absolutely right in the sense that these kooky conspiracy theories and stuff where there is no proof, and Edgar J. Steele writes this article pointing out, you know, that this guy, Macau, it's not just a coincidence that all of a sudden he appears there. First, he's talking in all these glowing terms about, you know, we got to save the white male and anti-feminism and all these things that he says. But then when you say, well, this whole thing that you suggest, that there's some secret society running the whole world, and that it's really not Jews. It's just, there might be a few bad Jews in there, yeah, but it's really not Jews or Jewish nature that are causing all these problems. That makes you a confusion agent.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you part of the problem. If you don't understand that the nature of reality is, and that the way that different species of human beings, which are species, is the same thing as races, behave differently and carry out their plans in certain ways and defense mechanisms in the real world. If you don't understand that, then you are part of the problem, because what he's doing, Macau's doing, is saying, well, no, it's only a few Jews and they've got bad ideology, like they've been raised up wrong, or they just need to be educated or retrained or whatever else, which is not true at all. The fact is that everybody who understands nature and science knows, like National Socialists do, is that the behavior is a result of your genetic makeup, and you start behaving a certain way. So if these Jews that are in charge of these banks, like the Federal Reserve, behind the scenes, they have done that by nature, and they will do anything to gain power and control. And it doesn't matter if it's communism, Zionism, or capitalism. It doesn't matter what the ideology is and what are the method they use. The fact is that by their nature, because they are Jews and by nature it's in their genes, they're going to behave in this way. That's why all these guys that say being racist or being like Hitler or doing what Hitler said and all this is part of the problem, is because they don't understand National Socialism. Their surface understanding of National Socialism is that communism and racism are very similar, and that Hitler and the National Socialists were used by these Jewish bankers who really were controlling them and made them do what they wanted. Because if they hadn't done that, then all of us would be getting along in this nice, peaceful, utopian world, right? Which, again, that is a communist idea, that there's going to be some utopian world. National Socialism does not say that and does not believe that. It knows, understands nature, and knows there's going to be conflicts, and understands that all these conflicts that occur are because of racial differences and genetic and natural differences. And if everybody that was engaged in all these conflicts, if they really understood National Socialism, they would not be fighting. It is the ultimate solution. It is not any part of the problem. One of the best books I ever read on this subject is titled The Cause of World Unrest. And that is a great, great title. And what that book does is it very clearly points out all these insidious things that Jews have done, and says, this is an example of how they have caused all this strife and conflict and violence and ultimately the worst thing, warfare. So again, do not, we suggest to you, learn on your own, think on your own, and do not believe all these stories. And Edgar J. Steele is absolutely right. The safest and best way is not to trust, never trust a Jew, any Jew. And it's not their fault. It's like saying I'm blaming a dog, you know, for being its dumb, stupid self, for peeing on the rug or whatever. That's, they're going to do that, and we just have to understand it. And it's too bad you don't understand it. You can make up all these things about we're jealous of you, you know, because you make more money, or whatever else you want to say. That's crazy talk as far as, again, anybody who understands nature and reality.
Getting back to the conspiracy thing, there might have been a conspiracy in the early 1900s, or even before, in the 1800s, before the protocols were written. But as time has moved on, this is just my personal opinion here, but I'm of the opinion that the Jewish conspiracy has become fulfilled. They are in power all over the world, in white nations. They're there, they're telling our leaders what to do, when to do it, how to stage wars to save their land of milk and honey from the real Semites, the Palestinians and the Arabs there. They are the real Semites. They're the ones who are really upset that these Jews have took over their land. But as a national socialist and an advocate of peace, as our ideology has always been for peace, quite prepared once again to reiterate the 1967 borders, the Jews have got their country, let them all go there. But this conspiracy, I believe it's fulfilled. I think in all white nations, Jews are in power.
Yeah, they are.
If they're not in power, they're behind the Goy, like Bush and company, Blair. They're all there.
Oh, they're pulling the strings.
I think the conspiracy's fulfilled.
They are
Jews of power.
They are the puppet masters. And we see that more and more, where they don't care that we know that, right? There was that article by Ben Stein saying, Jews run Hollywood, so what?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was the exact title.
And they're cocky now, because they not only have our politicians, they also have our media, movies, television, newspapers. Ask yourself this, people. If you invade a country, what's the first thing that you take over? Powers of communication. Jews have took over all white nations. They have control of our powers of communication. We've got to wrest our country from these people. They're in control. They run. They basically they run us. We're going to have to wake up and wrest these powers of communication from them. We've got to build our own white media. Educate yourself, everybody. We're trying to bring a radio show to stimulate your brain, to bring white consciousness in yourself together. We need to unify as a group. I said this in the past Area Matters when I spoke, that blacks are groupized, Asians in Great Britain are groupized, Indians in Great Britain are groupized, everyone seems to be groupized. I've just invented that word from the first show, groupized. We need white people to get groupized. We need white people to understand that we are a family and our space is being invaded. And when your space is being invaded, you don't just turn around and turn the other cheek. You turn around and you fight. You don't run away.
Yeah.
People, white people in the United States, in Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, France, Germany, Sweden, Iceland, wherever the area diaspora is, that seems to be the key word for this evening's show, in this wonderful studio, by the way, Lee, I'm proud of you. The white diaspora have got to understand that it's now or never, folks. We got to come together as white people, otherwise we're finished.
Yeah, what white people don't want to happen, and they don't even know it yet, is, like you said, there's no place to run. There's going to be no place for this white flight to occur anymore. Pretty soon, anywhere you go,
it
is going to be...
It could be Iceland, but there's not enough room for X amount of billions of millions of white people in Iceland.
Where are we going to go? We're going to let them chase us out of our own damn countries?
North Pole?
That's what we're doing. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that crazy? We're letting them chase us out of our own countries.
Our own land.
Nuts.
Our own land, but I like to use the word space because that's a bit more frightening. We need to tell white people it's getting frightening right now.
Well,
because your space is being invaded.
And the other part they're not thinking about is this, is that when the blacks make up, or any non-whites, especially the blacks or the Hispanics, when they make up a certain percentage of the population, that's where things
get ugly
because they go their way, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard it called many, many things. I've heard it called the tilt or whatever. If you have one black among a dozen whites, he does not behave like a black.
He knows that he has to behave like another white person.
If you have half a dozen.
Like a civilized human being.
Yeah. So if half of them are all of a sudden half of the group is Nogs, guess what? They start coming out with their natural African behavior. This kind of thing will happen. It happened to me when I was a kid and I had to go to El Paso, and I was thrown into this friggin' middle school which was 90% Hispanic. All of a sudden it was like hell. Everybody was behaving like they were back in Mexico, right? Because it was a majority Mexican, and that was hell. Believe me, that sucked.
When white liberal people have turned around to me and said, do you believe it is realistic for the United States or Great Britain or any country in Europe to become white again? Can you realistically say that that is going to happen? I said, well, only if you have a national socialist government in all these countries. And once we have a national socialist government in these countries, you bet you what's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right. It's going to happen automatically. And to go back to what Rockwell said, and this whole idea about how great our current government is, and all these idiot conservatives who really believe that the problem is big government. You know, the problem is big government. Well, Rockwell said, and it's absolutely true, is that the problem is not big government, it's a bad government. Of course, both of those terms are difficult to define, right? They're very big is a relative term. Bad is a relative term, right? What's bad to somebody might not be so bad to somebody else. But the idea that the government is bad for our people, for our race, that is very simple and straightforward. Either the race, the people, the folk are prospering under this government, or they are not, or they are being destroyed.
Being destroyed right now.
Which is what's happening right now.
Our folk is being destroyed. In all white nations, they're being destroyed because, as we keep saying on this show, the Jews have the Jews are the puppet masters of the goy politicians. Some goy politicians are going along and they know what's going on, but for the most part, the Jews are the puppet masters of our politicians. We need a national socialist government in all the white nations. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the only way. That's the only way that we can verify this. The true peace movement of the world was and is national socialism.
It is.
But we have to enlighten our people that we're not what the Jews would say, an evil ideology. We're a true nature-based ideology. Our race comes first. Our people come first. Our living space. I was just reading recently that California, New Mexico, and Texas are now. The white people, the Aryan people in those states are now a minority, and it's going to get worse. These people are breeding us, folks. We can't get down now and start breeding like the proverbial white rabbits. It ain't going to work. We got to come together as a race and as a community. We got to build. We got to get into politics. We got to do this all legally. We can't do this illegally. If we do this illegally tomorrow, that will give the authorities, the Jewish authorities, to come down and step on our throat, and we will all be locked up.
Well, we need to speak out as long as we can.
Speak out,
right?
Do it legally.
As soon as they say this free speech does not include anti-Semitic speech, this hate speech does not include it, well, once that happens, folks, we become criminals. And the only thing you can do is to continue in your criminality.
We have to. If that situation comes about, which the way everything's going on right now, it probably will do. But at the moment, we need to take steps, whereas slow steps too. But we got to. Our main thing at the moment is education. Education our people. I remember an old saying: education is the road to power. That's a true saying. It's probably a saying that I read somewhere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, James. That white people have got to start thinking in group form, thinking what is good for white people. If we're not looking out for white interests, who is? If there's not a single group in our government, definitely not our political leaders or anybody, looking out for what is good for white people, then what happens? Then what's good for all the 9 white people is obviously going to trump us. Every time we bring up national socialism, it's because we know that that was the first creed and political ideology saying that the people are the most important and our race is the most important. And this can apply to any race. It doesn't matter if it's a non-white country or not. They can adapt national socialism, which says, let's look out for our people.
If you look at the main 3 ideologies of government that have ruled this world, capitalism, communism, and national socialism, the only one that worked for the benefit of the folk, of the people, was national socialism. It worked. You can go through all the history books about how this ideology came about. On what happened, you can compare it to communism, you can compare it to capitalism. Jews want to capitalize the world, they want to export white jobs to India, Bombay, China, Beijing.
It's a one world labor camp.
They don't care about white people's interests.
No.
They don't care about our Aryan people. Our Aryan people are just numbers on a stock sheet.
Right.
And that should change.
It's a one-world labor camp. That's the ultimate goal. And you're absolutely right about National Socialism being the only thing that worked. And guess what also is that it was only defeated militarily. We tried National Socialism for a while, and it just fell apart because it didn't work. There was not that.
It was actually...
Their economy was even increasing during the war.
National Socialism was never beaten economically.
No. Or socially, or culturally, or anything. It was only defeated militarily.
Militarily, yeah. It's an ideology. It's a form of government that works. If you study it, as I said before, compare it to communism and capitalism, it's true. It's the true form of government for our people, and that's what we truly believe. We don't believe in democracy. We're going to tell you right now that democracy is a fraud.
Right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work for the benefit of our people. We need an ideology and a form of government that works for our people, and National Socialism does. And the quicker we have National Socialist governments in all the white countries, the sooner the better. I want to thank Lee for being here this evening in this wonderful studio. I want to thank you folks for listening to AryanManners.com. Go to our website. If you have any questions for us on this show at Area Matters, please drop us a line at our wonderful email address, askaneonazi@yahoo.com. Doesn't get better than that, people. askaneonazi@yahoo.com. We will entertain any emails from you. We'll try and answer some online when we come on our next show. Any hate mail from the communists, Jews, anybody, we'll entertain your stories too. My name is James Hawthorne.
And my name is Lee Gardner.
And we'll see everybody next time on AryanManners.com.
Thanks a lot, everybody. See you next time.